But it's good. Amen. But anyway, Acts chapter 8, I want to try to preach to you just a little bit here out of verse number 26, where I'm going to start at. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning to help these people. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to try to preach to you just a little bit out of this passage of Scripture on this thought, things that sinners don't understand. And I believe that this man here is probably reminiscent of the average American today. As I drove to church, I passed a lot of churches and the parking lots are full. And I mean, there's just like at my hometown, there's I guess within a 7-mile radius of my house, there are 12 Baptist churches. So if you go to hell from Morristown, son, you have had to run over 4 or 5 Baptist preachers. I can guarantee you that. But when I see all these parking lots full and all of America going to church today, I'm thinking our country should be in better shape. I'm thinking that we should be a more moral people, a better people. But I think this man here is particularly interesting because he reminds me of a lot of Americans. There's a lot of people in church today that if they died this afternoon, they would not be in heaven, and that is a sad thing. When I got saved 36 years ago, I thought that everybody in church was good. But son, I've got myself a real education. There's some very, very bad people that go to church. When I started in the prison ministry 26 years ago, I thought everybody in prison was bad. But can I tell you something? That is not the case either. Now, they didn't do something good to get put in there. They ain't over there for stealing pencils, you know what I'm saying? But they got over there, and a lot of them was raised in churches just like this one, the ones right down the road, a lot of boys' homes and girls' homes. You can't help none of the kids on the street because they're filled up with ex-church members. And prison's the same way. No matter what denomination you are, you're well represented in prison. I was going through the prison one time. Every other man I talked to, preacher, I'm a Baptist. I got saved in a Baptist church when I was a kid. And I said, now I know why our church is empty. All of our members are in jail. Amen. You boys need to get right with God and get back over to the church house. Amen. But look, it's more than just being a Baptist. It's more than just being a Methodist or a Church of Christ or whatever they are. It's more than that. But this man here, I believe the first thing he didn't realize was the deception of religion. In verse number 27, the Bible said, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to do what? He had come down there to worship. That's what we've met in the church house to do today, is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what this man had done. He had went to Jerusalem for one purpose, and that only, and that was go to church to worship God Almighty. So you know why I believe he was a man of great character. He was a man I know that was of great character, because the charge he had was that he had charge of all the treasure of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. I mean, you don't let a guy like that carry around your money, not unless you can trust that man. Amen? Now I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of people would do a lot of things just to have money. A matter of fact, a lot of Americans would do anything to have a lot of money today. Amen? Now, I'm like everybody else. Like I said, I would like to have more of it. But it don't mean that I'm going to do anything to have it. But you know, there's people that actually kill for money. There's people that steal for money. There's people that break that first and second commandment for money, friend. It's all about the money. You can break every one of those commandments over money. And this man here was like a lot of people. I believe that he had a great character. He was in charge of the money. I'm talking about the treasure of the queen. You're not talking about a guy that just oversaw a few thousand dollars, maybe a couple hundred thousand. You're talking about literally millions of dollars this man was in charge of, and he went to church. You know, Judas Iscariot was a man that had charge of the bank. I don't believe Judas was your average thug on a street corner. Amen? Jesus went by. Every preacher he picked, they was all at work. That's why I tell people God never called a lazy man to preach. It was all working in the Old and New Testament when he called him to preach. Amen? Judas Iscariot, it didn't say what he'd done, but he was a man that they could all trust with the money bag. You know, those men were commercial fishermen. They run their own business. Hey, Luke was a doctor, so that they knew all about this financing and how to run these businesses. So what they did, they said, Judas, you'll be the man that covers the bag. This man was a whole lot like Judas Iscariot. Judas would get up, he would preach the word of God, he would go out and do miracles. Hey, for whatever reason, God gave him all that ability. He hung around the right people, he went to all the right places. When they saw him, they said, that is Judas Iscariot. He's a friend of Jesus. That's what Jesus called him. He's one of them preachers that is turning the world upside down. This man was doing something that a lot of people won't do outside the church. In verse number 28, he was reading his Bible and he wasn't even at church. You know, the average church member, they'll leave their Bible at church so they won't forget it next Sunday. Now, I'm not giving them a hard time, because there's people in my church that do it. But when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about God. I didn't read the Bible. The Bible meant absolutely nothing to me. But when I got saved, the Bible became my best friend. The first book I read was the book of Revelation from start to finish. When I got done, I thought, man, that book is wild. I ain't never heard such in all my life. But when I got done, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And he said, you remember chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, blessed is he that readeth. You know what God told me, son? If you're just reading that book, he said, I'll bless you and I'll teach you. This man was reading his Bible. He was seeking for God. He wanted the Lord more than anything. He was doing more than what a lot of them is going to do all next week. He was reading his Bible. So I think he was a man of good character. But can I tell you something about men of good character? Psalm 39:5 said a man at his best state is altogether vanity. The best that a man can do, he's going to wind up empty, friend. There's something wrong and missing in that man's life. Paul said it this way. He was schooled in religious schools. He had a doctorate, I guess, that would be the equivalent of a doctor under the greatest teacher of his day. He said in Romans 3:9, what then? Are we better than they? He's talking about them Gentiles. He said, no, and in no wise, for we have before proven, both Jew and Gentile, he said, they're all under sin. He said, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. He said, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, you're talking about a man that was raised in probably one of the godliest homes there was. He didn't drink, smoke, cuss, fool around with anybody that did. He knew the law like the back of his hand. He excelled in the Jewish religion. I mean, man, went up through their ranks. When everybody saw Saul of Tarsus, they said, that boy is on his way. He's a man that's going to do great things in his life. And you know what? He did. But when he got saved, he said, I'm going to forfeit all that for one reason, that I may know Christ. And when he come out and started preaching Jesus was the Messiah, he was the only way to heaven, he said, I've lost everything. Hey, friend, out there, look at him. I mean, his family, his friends, his fortune. He lost everything. He said, look, I had to leave it all behind. He said, I'm counted as a filth of the earth. Hey, friend, they imprisoned him. They beat him. Hey, just like he had done to those people before, he was reaping what he sowed. Hey, God said he's going to suffer a lot for my name. But he said, look, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, but it's more than needful that I stay here and preach to you. He said, I want to be in heaven. He said, but I've lost all that. And he said, it's better for you if I stay here and preach. He said, because look, I've been in peril by false brethren. I've been in perils in the sea. He said, I've been beat. Yeah, look here. He said, but friend, he counted a blessing and an honor. He went from a place of honor to the world to dishonor. But we elevate people, and God says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. That means your grandma, that's a good woman, if she ain't saved, God says she ain't good. Amen? That means that mayor or a governor of a state that can slash a budget and take a state that's in just total disrepair and turn it around and take those people that's broke and friend just turning minus sign into a plus sign, take a state that's broke, make your life better economically. I mean, do all those good things for a state. But if he's not saved, he's not a good man. Amen. Altogether vanity. He's doing good things and he's not good. Can I tell you, he wasn't a hypocrite. This man was deceived. There's a big difference in the two. You know, a lot of people say, man, them hypocrites over there. No, most of them are deceived, friend. Because I don't know about you. Sometimes you look at you say, I'll be in prison and I'll be passing out tracts. And them boys say, preacher, I'm straight. Preacher, I'm straight. Preacher, I'm good. And then every once in a while I say, no, you're not good. Have you noticed where you're at? You're in jail. They don't put good people over here. And then sometimes I go down into the lockup area where they lock them up. They can't even get along with jail people. And I said, son, you definitely ain't good. You can't even get along with jail people. They've got you in a room all by yourself. In a room full of bad people. Amen. But yes, I'm good. We all like to think of ourselves as good. I'm a good mother. You can be a good mother and not go to heaven. You can be a good husband and a good provider and not go to heaven. It's not based on how good you are. It's based on how good he is. I want to ask you something, friend. Have you ever lied? Don't answer that question. Just in your heart. Have you ever had a foul thought that you ought not have? Amen. Now you answer them questions in your own heart. I know what the answer is already. You're a liar by your own admission. And you have foul thoughts you ought not have. You say, how do you know that? Because that's my mind too. But thank God he's not looking at me. He's looking at him. I'm good because he made me good. Amen. That's what this man was. He was like most people. He was deceived. He believed what he said. Most of the preachers preaching their deception believe what they believe and they're preaching to a bunch of people that's deceived. But I'm telling you, God turned a light on. God turned a light on for this old boy and God sent him a preacher out there. 2 Timothy 3:13 said in the last days that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Hey, the devil's whispering a lie in their ear. They're proclaiming it to their congregations and their congregations are eating it up. Amen. But I'm telling you, friend, you better check what you believe. I had a Muslim so mad last week at the prison, I thought he was going to chunk me off a top tier. And all I was doing was defending the deity and the gospel. And I made a fool out of it. Look here, he interjected in my conversation, and I just made a fool out of him. But look, this man had a charge of all the treasure that speaks of his character, but it came to church, and it came down there to worship. Look, you're like most people today, he came to worship. These people that are deceived, you can read about them in Matthew 7. They're going to carry that deception all the way to the judgment. When he said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, many, not a few, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? He said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They're totally shocked that they're going to go to hell. That deception goes off. But Lord, I'm a preacher. Can I tell you something, friend? Not everybody that's a preacher is going to heaven. Amen? Not all of our deacons are going to heaven. Not all of our choir members are going to heaven. Lord, we've stood against evil. We've done benevolent things. Can I tell you what St. Jude does? What the Shriners do? You can't argue about all the good works and the benevolence that they do. They help a lot of hurting families, friend, but that don't make them good in God's eyes. Amen. You got to repent of your sins and receive Him. He didn't know the deception of religion. He didn't understand the discernment of the Scriptures. Can I tell you something about the Bible? If you're not saved, that's a very weird book. Amen? I mean, you're reading there that a guy got swallowed by a whale. Amen? And 3 days later, he spits him out on the bank and he goes, preaches one day through a whole city and everybody gets saved. And the preacher's still mad. Amen, by the way. Amen? You're reading a book that a kid comes walking by and he's got just a few fishes and a few loaves and he said, hey, can I have that? I got about 5,000 plus people over here I need to feed. Sure, here you go. Feeds them all. A little weird, ain't it? Amen? You're talking about a guy that walks up and you're reading about a guy named Moses and he just opens up the Red Sea. Do you know for them to cross in one night on dry ground, you know what had to happen? They had to stand 5,000 wide, shoulder to shoulder, after probably a half a mile deep, and march all night long, but they done it. It's hard to believe all that stuff, ain't it? You know why? You know why NASA's out there looking for aliens today? Because they don't believe Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's good enough for me. Like I said this week, there's some things that you just now never figure out. There's some people, man, they're just smarter than others. You can't figure that out because there's been people that came out of the worst situation and some of the brightest people you've ever met. There's some people that came out of situations that ought to conquer the world and they're idiots. That's all you can say. Amen? You know what I'm saying? There's some people ugly. There's some people pretty. There's some people that can figure things out. Some people can't. There's some people I've always wanted to be able to build a house, and I can't drive a nail straight. And I've tried. I've worked for free to try to learn that trade. I just can't grasp it. And all it is, you're just in a box, man. But I can't put a box together. But I'm a farmer, though. I can grow you something. I can feed your hide, amen. And without me, you're all dead. Amen. The garbage man says, without me, you're all going to be standing over your head in trash. So we all need it, amen. But anyway, he didn't understand the discernment of the Scriptures. In verse 30, he said, do you understand what you read? He was reading it, but he couldn't grasp it. He said, how can I except someone guide me? That's what I'm doing here. I'm kind of guiding you a little bit. Amen? He said, is this guy talking about himself or who? He said, I need some guidance. But he couldn't understand the Scriptures. Can I tell you something? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He said, for they are spiritually discerned. You've got to have the Holy Spirit on the inside to understand the Holy Scriptures on the outside. Hey, to see the world as God sees it. Amen. You've got to understand that. And this guy, he was confused. But look here. He got some clarification, though. How can I accept some man guide me? Can I tell you something? You know why you ought to read and study your Bible, know your Bible, even if you're a preacher or not? Somebody's going to ask you one day, why should I get saved? It might be your child. You know why I've done it in my house? When my son was just little, he's 18 now, bigger than me. And when he was a little boy, I'd show him the same verses. I would tell him the same thing that I tell those men down to prison. I've preached to men on death row, and I've told them what I've told millionaires sitting in their living room. Sir, this is your problem. This is your answer. You need to get right with God. This is the gospel. This is what you must believe. You must repent of your sins. Receive this message, and you can go to heaven. Hey, that's what Philip did. He clarified that thing for me. He said he's preaching about Jesus Christ, the God just died there in Jerusalem for the sins of the whole world. It was fresh on their mind, son, because it hadn't been too long after that. He said, you know, the guy got up because that was still buzzing around fresh. He said, that's who he's talking about. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, if your child comes up and says, Daddy, how do I get saved? You ought to be able to know how to tell your son how to get saved. Amen. I didn't have to call the preacher. I was the preacher. Amen? But look here. We need to realize it's discernment of the Scripture that ain't getting hold of. A lot of people, I call them believing unbelievers. They sit and listen to all this preaching today, and they listen like a lot of people do. You know, there's this guy walked into Pizza Hut one day after church, and I said, hey, man, how'd church go today? He said, oh, man, it went great, Larry. He said, my preacher preached so good today. He says, matter of fact, I don't think I've ever heard that man preach that good before. I said, wow, really? I knew this guy, and I thought, he got him tore up. It must have been really good. I said, what in the world did he preach on? He said, I have no idea. I had pizza on my mind. Yeah. Yeah. Ain't that insane? That's how most people, you know, they're listening, they're looking at you, and you're preaching to them, and they're going, did I eat at Wendy's yesterday or once or twice? I don't know. Amen. Trying to figure it out. Amen. They ain't getting it, buddy. They ain't getting it. But I'm telling you, God tells us that we need to clarify that message. We need to put it out there. And I'm going to tell you, God will turn that light on. He'll let them see where they're at. Amen. He clarified it, but he didn't understand the drawing of the Spirit of God. I preached to 1,000 people, 1,500 people one time. And I preached to one, him blowing cigarette smoke in my face. And you know what? I preached to all of them just the same. Amen? Because man, a man in this country worth his salt if he won't preach to one like he would 1,000. Amen? If you ain't going to preach to 10 like you would 1,000, I ain't interested in hearing you preach. Amen? Because we know what you're in it all about. But anyhow, he didn't understand the drawing of the Spirit of God. I want you to look at his desire in verse 31. He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. There was a day, and I never was mean to preachers. I never was mean to church people. They was always good to me. And I was always good back. I was taught to be good to them. Hey, they kept our lights on. They kept us from freezing to death. And they kept us fed a lot of times when nobody else would. But I'm telling you, this man didn't understand the drawing of the Spirit of God. There was a day I didn't want to be near a preacher. But friend, I'm telling you, there was a day when I couldn't hardly wait for that preacher to shut up so I could go to that altar and get saved by the grace of God. Hey, it was a desire in my heart. I preached in churches. I preached in prisons. I preached on street corners and in parks, and I've seen people, I mean, in their living rooms. I've seen it when God gets on them, son, and I know that God has turned the light on. There's something about ready to happen right there. When God starts drawing a man, he'll act a whole lot different. You ain't going to have to beg him to go to church. He'll be ready to go. You ain't going to have to beg him to listen to the preacher. He'll listen. Psalm 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. I believe that people cross paths for a reason. I believe there's a time and a place where God is going to deal with every man. And friend, you don't even think about God according to that verse unless God allows you to. John 6:44 says, no man, you can underline that, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Hey, God reaches out. God pulls you to himself. I don't go back and try to get anybody to come. That is God's job. If God is drawing you and you feel that need, that desire to come forward, hey friend, that is no small matter. That is God Almighty dealing with you about your sin. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's a good thing. When you desire to hear that preaching, he made a decision after his salvation because he did get saved. Because when he preached Christ unto him, I believe the old boy got saved. And he made a decision in verse 36. They went on their way, so there'd be a little space of time here. They came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, man, I got saved. He said, here's water. What do I need to do to get? He said, what's keeping me from getting baptized? Philip said, well, we've got to clarify something here. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Hey, some people don't. You just put a number in a book. But he said, you got to believe something. He didn't tell him what to believe. He done told him that. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For that man to make that statement, he was saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that he resurrected from the dead. Hey, friend, but he said, look here. When he said that, they went down into the water. He got baptized. Hey, friend, like a Christian ought to, and identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and identified with the church. Let the world know we're burying that old man. He's coming up out of there. Brand new person. Hey, friend, that's when he baptized him because it's a believer's baptism. Now, there's been a lot of unbelievers baptized. So how you know? Like I said, you know, they'll sit and listen to you. The preaching, they ain't getting it. Hebrews 4:2. The word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. I've witnessed to people in their 80s. And you know what they're talking about? I pinned them down. This lady just popped in my head. My brother-in-law's mother, he's an atheist, pretty much. And he believes that your tonsils are the remnants of your gills. He's an idiot, too. Amen. But his mother was dying. She had Alzheimer's, terrible disease. My sister-in-law called me one day and said, Larry, why don't you come down and talk to her? She's having a good day. And I went down and started talking to her. And I said, I started telling her about the Lord and how she needed to get saved and all that. And she kind of snarled up her nose and said, well, I used to take my kids when they was little. She said, but I'm not sure I believe all that stuff or not. She died and went to hell from a nursing home. Can I tell you, there's a lot of them old people, that's what they're doing. That's why nursing home ministry is so important. Friends of mine preaching them nursing homes, when them people, a lot of them, when they was young and able to help somebody else, that's why they're over there. They wouldn't. They do roll them over there and forget them sometimes. Not all of them was good people. And they've been rolled over there. And friend, I've had friends of mine preach over there and said, look, I'm not here to pet you. I'm here to preach to you. You're in danger and you need to get right with God. And they come and they get saved. He said, dear, in the middle of sermons sometimes, they roll up there and get saved. Because time's running out, son. But look here, he made a decision. He baptized him. There's some people make decisions. Amen. They make decisions like Agrippa in Acts 26. He said, Agrippa, he said, do you believe the prophets? He said, matter of fact, I know that you believe the prophets. He knew him. He said, I know you believe the prophets. He said, I know you do. And Agrippa told him, he said, look, he said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Can I tell you, I believe in a whosoever will salvation. I don't believe in a whensoever will salvation. I don't care if it's in this little church, in the biggest church in town, in your living room, when God speaks to you, you better do it right then. Because you may not get another chance. Amen? Because 2 years later, he didn't. But look, he didn't understand the death of the Son of God either. It's on 10 after 12, man. I've got 450 miles to drive you. Amen? But look, he didn't understand the death of the Son of God. He read to him the place of the scripture in verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Friend, I'm telling you, he said he was like a sheep being led to the slaughter. He didn't understand the death of the Son of God. Can I tell you that most people don't understand the death of Jesus Christ? He's more than them idolatrous pictures that shows a little hippie hanging on a cross with a little trickle of blood here and a little trickle of blood there. That is not God. That is nowhere near Jesus Christ. God totally forbids such stuff. And friend, I'm telling you, you're talking about if you could see the real picture. His face was beat beyond recognition. Look here. He was beat so much, somebody had to help him carry the cross to the crucifixion side. Friend, I'm saying, drenched in human spit. Every bone out of joint. You're talking about a man that had been beat and stoned and nailed to a tree. Friend, most people don't understand the death of the Son of God. Now, God done that for you. Can I tell you something? If it was left up to me, there'd be some people who wouldn't go to heaven. I go to church with a lot of undesirable people. I sit in church sometimes and I see homosexuals out there. I'm not for homosexuality, but if they'll sit and let me preach to them, I'm going to preach to them. I've seen some of them get saved. I look at it and I see child molesters out there. Matter of fact, there's a little girl who used to come to my house. She loved me and my wife. Before we had kids, we used to get people's kids and practice with them. And she was one of our practice dummies. Amen. Or toys. Toys is better, ain't it? But she was a foster child, and she loved me and my wife. Well, her mother and her boyfriend still got visitations, and they got her one week and done terrible things. And I went to jail the next week, and there she sat with a huge black eye, and I thought, I wish that was me that had put that on you. I see people like that all the time. I see people that is raped and robbed and murdered and they've sold drugs. They lie and they steal. We had a guy killed last Saturday to prison. Three or four guys. Just brute beast stabbing and stomping on a man. They killed a guy on the west end of a CO on the west end of the state. Two or three of them jump in, take a microwave, crush his head, and it don't bother them a bit to do that stuff. Don't bother them a bit. But you know what? Jesus Christ died for their sins. Amen. If it's up to me, some of them fellas wouldn't go. But it ain't up to me. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, I'm telling you, the biggest drunk you see out there, the biggest thief you know, the man that has done the worst you could possibly imagine, hey, the man that is blaspheming his name, he said God commended his love toward him in that while he was yet in his sin, while he's in his sin, he loved him. Remember, he's hanging there and he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. They got something done. Because when you read that crucifixion, it got real dark. They smote their breasts. That means their conscience bothered them. It smote their conscience. I believe more than that thief on that cross, I got saved that day. The last man he ever won to the Lord on this earth was a man dying on death row. You don't get there by being a nice guy. He went and preached to the guys first in prison when he left this world. But there's a lot of them soldiers, they said, this was a Son of God. This was a good man. Those that was laughing and spitting and mocking his name, they went home and God broke their heart. God broke their heart. Can I tell you something, son? God ain't going to accept nothing less than you repenting of his sins and receiving that payment. Sometimes when I think I'm like God, I read Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Can I tell you something? He's talking about his son. He said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He bruised him on my behalf. as a guy came and told me here not too long ago, Larry, he got been saved about a year and a half, 2 years. He said, I'm trying to tell my buddies. He said, I just can't get it told. I said, son, I've been trying to tell it for 36 years. You'll never get it told. Once you get it told, you'll want to tell it again. Hey, friend, when I realized that he loved me like I was, he done all that just for me. Hey, friend, it moved me. Hey, friend, that somebody would love me while I was a curser, while I was a stealer, while I was a fornicator, whatever. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, anything you put on that list, he loved me like I was. Can I tell you something? God is impressed by no one. Amen? God's not impressed by that guy with a PhD. We are. Amen? I don't like our president, but if I met him, you know what? It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I'd take a picture with him, smile, and shake his hand. And think, whole time, can't wait till you leave office. But God's not impressed with Barack Obama. He's not impressed with Vladimir Putin. He's not impressed with the guy down there that's impressed with himself at the university. He's not impressed with a preacher that's been through seminary. He is impressed with the fact that his son died and bled and allowed people to spit on him. Hey, friend, by putting him in a grave, 3 days later he come out of there. It'll move you when you realize somebody done that just for you. And the illustration has been wore out, but I'm going to hit it again. Your children, those children. It'd be like me go over stomping on that kid, spitting on that kid, beating that kid, and him looking at it and saying, man, you know, that's okay with me. I like that. I don't think that's going to be the reaction. If he don't do nothing, I believe he would. Immediately, I know his mother would. Because there's nothing like my mother's love. Amen? I'm saying, he didn't understand the death of the Son of God. People don't understand. He done more than just get a little scratch on the head and a little spear in the side. He died for your sins and loved you while he's in your sins. Amen? But he didn't understand the delight of salvation. Let me finish this too. Most people, you know what they think of church? This is boring. I hate it. Can't wait till it's over. I was preaching last week in Georgia. My son was sitting in church and he started laughing. He said, Dad, there was a little girl in front of him. She was about six, and she said, this is boring, Grandma. You know what I expect? I expect six-year-olds to do that. You know, because they're six, man. They get bored with everything. But I do not expect teenagers. I mean, I was preaching to Brother Tabs one time, and I'm talking about teenagers from the church been raised there sitting there going, I'm thinking, dude, I'm doing the best I can here, man. Why don't you move your kid to the back? I have been preaching, and I've literally seen people, adults, draped all over the pew, snoring, taking a nap. Church has never bored me that much. I wouldn't even fool with it, man. I would go fishing. Amen. I wouldn't even go if it didn't interest me no more than that. I'd say, I'm not going over there because it's boring. Amen. But this old boy here, when he got baptized, the Bible said that when he came up out of the water, he said, Philip said that the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him in the morning, he went on his way rejoicing. Hey, that Spirit of God grabbed Philip, took him somewhere else. That old boy come out there, and he was rejoicing. Amen. The day I got saved, you know what I done? Brother Tom, you can say what you want. He's hanging on me. He said, son, just trust the Lord. Help him, Lord, just to pray through. He'll make it. Son, just trust him. He died for you. Just believe on him. Just trust him. He didn't have his Bible under my nose. And some people get saved that way, and I'm okay with it. And Mamie and all them other women around me praying. My mother was praying. There's all kind of people around me praying. And friend, I'm telling you, they all got to, that's crying and praying and shouting and saying hallelujah. And when I got saved, I shot up out of there like a bottle rocket. And I just start saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, bless his name. He just saved me and I've been doing it for 36 years. Amen. I'm telling you, people don't understand that. But you know, I can understand somebody's never done what I done, and them getting saved, saying, Lord, just save me. Look, I go to church, I got friends like that. They say, I didn't act like that. I said, don't have to. I did. You know, there's some people, man, you know, Terry Bumgarten, he preached here this week, very solemn man. Yeah, they know him. He said, my parents used to ask me all the time, Terry, are you happy? You know what? My son's a whole lot like Terry. Son, you happy? Yeah. Yeah. He's really excited this week because he got him a girl on the hook, you know? He's doing good. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everybody don't act the same. But I'm going to tell you, my son was raised in church. He went to altar a couple of times like most church kids do. But when he got it, son, I mean, he's always kind of liked it. But he really enjoys his salvation now. He don't shout. He don't carry on. But he will sit there and he'll raise his hand every once in a while. Hey, he even told me, he said, Dad, if the Lord ever called me to preach, I'm not going to preach like you do. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to preach like Adrian Rogers. I said, well, he done all right. Amen. He likes them quieter preachers. I like quieter preachers too. I just don't preach that way. Try preaching like that in jail. County jail when the radio's real loud. Amen. They said, who's that guy up at the door talking to himself? Amen. John the Baptist, he come around there. He had Jerusalem, Jordan, and another J, Judea, out there listening to him preach. Hey, the whole bank was full. I'm sure he didn't preach like the guy at First Baptist. Oh, no, son, I believe he ran back and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I like Benjamin Franklin. I read a lot about him. He was good friends with one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. His name was George Whitefield. Benjamin Franklin used to print his sermons and his journals, and according to his own writings, he said, we were best friends our whole life. He said, I could hear George Whitefield plainly a mile away when he was preaching his sermons. He'd preach them outdoor meetings, and he said, a mile away, you could hear that man's voice clear as a bell. He died a deist, and one of the greatest preachers ever lived was his best friend. But he heard the preaching, amen? That's just why I preach. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's something about being saved. Most people, they get more excited about meeting the quarterback of the Memphis Tigers, whoever that is. Amen? They would get more excited about meeting some pro ball player, you know? But it ought to be like this. I like the Green Bay Packers, and I seen Bart Starr one time. I was in a airport in Birmingham, Alabama, and I saw Bart Starr. I said, hey, man, that's Bart Starr. My brother-in-law said, who's that? Hey, man, he could care less. You know what I'm saying? But we'd be more impressed by meeting some movie star. You know what I did last night? I done something I've never done. I watched the Kardashians for 5 minutes. And I thought, them people have been on TV for years. There's busloads of people watching that stuff. And I'm thinking, Bruce Jenner, he looks weird. And I'm thinking, them Kardashian women, they are pretty women, but I'm thinking, do y'all really think that just happens on the fly, man? I believe all that's a little bit staged, amen? I mean, it's reality TV. People are eating that stuff up. I mean, they're eating it up today. They're going to be at the race, and they're going to be watching 500 miles of pew, 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 pew. That's pretty impressive, driving 200 miles an hour, 500 miles and all that stuff. But they're all getting drunk. I tell people you have to be drunk to watch that. Amen, ain't no wrecks and ain't no good. It's like I-40 on a busy day. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? They get eat up with football. I love football. But look here, friend, I'm not going to go down there and paint myself orange. I'm not going to scream and holler, and I'm not going to memorize every number on the team and all the players and all their stats and then say, preacher, I just can't remember no Bible verse at all. What do you eat up with, man? First guy I ever witnessed to, he said, do you know what John 3:16 says? I said, nope. I don't know nothing about no John 3:16. I just know I got saved, buddy, and you need to get over and get saved. I didn't know what John 3, I was saved. I know what it says now. Amen. I probably got 1,000 verses memorized now. You know why? Because it interests me, man. You know, when I get up on Sunday morning, you know, I'm excited about coming to church. Sunday school was a little boring today because I taught it. And I couldn't have said water with a mouthful of it. Amen. I didn't have my glasses. But I love church. I don't understand why people wouldn't want to come to this. I don't understand why they wouldn't want to be around people like you. I mean, they do the same thing all the time. They said, you Christians do the same thing all the time. And I said, and y'all do what? Something different every day. Yeah. Used to be right out there, man. I've had guys make fun of me when I'm leaving the prison. There's that preacher. I said, you know where I'm going, son? I'm going home. Where are you going? You're going up there on the hill, ain't you? I'm going to eat steak now. What are you eating? That slop over in that canteen? Yeah. That's right. It's all good here. Yeah, it usually knocks a smile off their face. Yeah, it's a real nice outfit you got on there. Ain't nothing like this killer suit I'm wearing. Hey, man, it's good being over here, man. Can I tell you, all through the Bible, that maniac in Mark 5, do you really think that guy, when he got saved, he said, Jesus, thank you so much. I was crazy. I was cutting myself with stones, and praise God, I'm saved. Oh, no, son. That old boy come out of there. His praise God, I was over there, and I mean, I was in them tombs, and I was crazy, and I was cutting myself with stones, I was running around naked, everybody's afraid of me, and he said, Jesus, come by, I got saved, I put my clothes on, I got my mind back, I'm not full of the devil, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, it is good, amen. Let me ask you something. The guy in Acts 3, I think it is, never walked in his life. Peter and John come by. They said, look on us. You've been laid to gate. Been homiletically sound here. If you don't know what that is, that's an outline. He was laid at the gate. The disciple says, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such I have. Give I unto thee. They lifted him up. He had never walked. You know what the Bible said next? The Bible said, he leaped through the synagogue. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord that I've never walked in my life. But then one day these preachers came by. And it was so wonderful. They gave me my legs back and they said it was all through the power of Christ and praise God. I don't think it's that way, buddy. Do you? I don't think it was that way. He leaped through the door. He said, hey, everybody, look, I got my legs. Praise God the Lord. He's preachers out here. They know him. They've got power, and they gave me my legs. And I just want to tell you how wonderful the Lord is. I'd say that old boy's a little bit excited about it. Now, you get to reading your Bibles. I know sometimes there's some people get crazy at that stuff. I see it on TV. It looks like a carnival. I ain't interested in nothing like that. But I ain't interested no more either. It's a happy medium somewhere there. You know what I'm talking about? But look here, when you get to heaven, the Bible says it sounds like the voice of many waters. And you know, that leper, he that one out of that tent turned with a loud voice. Amen. In heaven, they're going, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Son, I'm going to tell you, it's going to make a rock concert look like nap time at kindergarten. It's going to get good, man. And them people that ain't never done it, they're going to do it. You get a new car today, if you're 20, you know what you're going to do? 18, you're going to call everybody you know, some man, you'll see his wheels. Amen? Somebody come and paid your house off today, you're going to skyrocket if it ain't already paid off. Amen? It's good. It's good being saved. I'm going home today knowing that if I don't make it back to East Tennessee, and my family never sees me again here, they will see me in heaven. Amen. That helps me. That puts a smile on my face and peace in my heart. That old boy didn't understand the delight of salvation. Most people are going to go to these old dead churches. They're going to leave just like they came. Amen. And I'm on my soapbox now. I need to quit. But anyway, Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for a good church. In Jesus' name.